Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning. It is, I tell you, it's so good to be back here. I feel like I'm coming home when we come up to Kalkaska. This isn't my first time here. And obviously, Andy, either you've got a built-in forgetter or you all like when we come up because we're invited back time after time. And the reality is, so many of our kids come from this area. Right now, we've got five kids from Michigan, northern Michigan, and three of them from within 25 miles of this church. Your ministry is effective. There is hope being proclaimed. That video reminds me of our motto. We don't raise victims, we raise overcomers. And everybody's got something to overcome. Zaysha, one of the girls who used to attend this church, who's been in our care for almost 2 years, she's an overcomer. She's not a victim. She's an overcomer. She actually sends me off with a joke for you folks. Because the kids think my sermons are boring for some reason. I don't know. And so they're like, at least if you got your joking and giggling on the front end, everything else will follow. So this is the joke from Zaysha. She said, for you folks, why was the baby strawberry crying? Why was the baby... If we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, we need to have our brains turned on. So why was the baby strawberry crying? Well, obviously, because its mom and dad were in a jam. Yeah. That was free. I mean, you don't even have to pay for that one. That came from Zaysha. And, of course, she's got this big smile on her face and this lights up the room now. And I'm so grateful that God continues to cross our paths with kids who are discouraged. Just discouraged. I mean, Zaysha lived a long, long life before she came to us. And she was only 12 years old. It's just they lived these multiple lives. And it's just a train wreck. And nobody comes to the Woodburn Christian Children's Home on a winning streak. But we stand still in their lives. And you folks stand still in their lives. It's a decision. I really believe it's a decision to stand still in a child's life. It's a decision to believe, ultimately. And a lot of our experiences are connected to decisions. Sometimes these decisions are monumental decisions. And sometimes they're little small little decisions. It seems like almost, in a sense, life is a series of decisions. Or more specifically, life is a series of crossroads where we stand at those crossroads and make decisions. I'm reminded my sister's birthday is coming up soon, and she sometimes listens online. So, Beth, if you're listening, this one's for you. I was reminded when I was a kid, when I was preparing this message this week, of a crossroad decision my sister made years and years and years ago. It involves something like this. This is an old broomstick with a rope tied to it. And when my sister and I were younger, 8, 10 years old, we used to get bored by the time July comes around in the summertime. I mean, most kids get bored after a month or so into the summer, and they get creative. So we got creative playing games, my sister and I, 8, 10 years old. She was older than I was, and we created this game called Fishing in the Front Yard. We got an old broomstick. We tied a rope to it. At the end of the rope, we put a little knot on it to make it look like a worm. And one of us would lay in the front yard on our belly, flopping around like a fish. And the other one would throw the rope out to the, and they would grab onto it and pretend, we would pretend to pull them in. I mean, we're kids. This is before video games. And this is what we did, right? This is what we did in the mid-70s. And so one particular time on a nice warm July day, I convinced my sister to be the fish. So she's laying in the front yard, flopping on the ground like a fish. And I take my rope and I throw it out to her like this. And she grabs a hold of it. And I said, Beth, put the rope in your mouth like you're a fish. And she did. She made a crossroad decision to put that rope in her mouth. And, of course, just as she did that, I heard my dad's voice in my head saying, set the hook, Joey, set the hook. And I made a cross hook. And I set the hook. And I pulled her two front teeth out. She lost it. I mean, Beth, if you're listening, you were probably overreacting, but she was loose. I gave her out. She was bleeding all over the place. She goes running into the house. It's the 70s. The windows are open. It's hot outside. I hear her, the commotion inside with my mom. We aroused my mother, and she came out with wrath. She was, what did you do? My experience that afternoon followed a decision. Right? A lot of our experiences follow decisions. And sometimes these decisions are big decisions. Sometimes they're little tiny decisions. But this was a big decision. I laughed because every time I look at her pictures for the next 2 years, she's missing her two front teeth. And it was the funniest thing in the world, at least from my perspective. But not really from her perspective. But crossroad decisions. So much of what we do, we find ourselves standing at the crossroads. Actually, way back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we have this really awesome passage that sets up our Mark 1 passage. And that passage in Jeremiah 6, 16 simply reads, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask for the good way and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Go put that next slide up. You will find rest for your souls. But some of you said, we will not walk in it. This picture, the next slide, this picture up here is a digital art that we created with one of the kids. And it's a standing at the crossroads picture. I'm telling you, so much of life is standing at the crossroads. Asking and looking and being challenged to walk in it. So we could find rest for the souls. But it's a decision, right? It's a decision to walk in it and find rest for our souls. Or we could do what the passage says and say, no, we're not going to walk in it. And both paths lead to a destination. At the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, every single family who calls us is familiar with this passage. Whether they remember it or not, it's not on us. But we always present this passage to them. When they call us, when Zaysha called us, when her dad called us, we stood at the crossroads. We looked, we asked, and then we challenged them to walk in it. And they have walked in it. As to many other kids, to Charlotte and James, who live over in Traverse City, who is in our care. They stood, looked, asked, and walked in it. They're walking in it. Standing at the cross. Today, you're standing at the crossroads. And you're being challenged to walk in it. And it's a big deal for us. Because nobody comes to the Woodburn Christian Children's Home on a winning streak. Oh my goodness. Nobody does. But ultimately, it's not as complicated as the picture may show it. I mean, the one path goes this broad road to the city of Babylon, the city of destruction, the other road. You really can't see where it goes or how it goes. That's the way of faith. A lot of times when we're standing at the crossroads decision really boils down to faith. Faith. Because faith is the pathway to greatness. That's a core truth for your core truths for this year. Faith is the pathway to greatness. Can it be that simple? Well, yeah, it can be. Now, simple doesn't mean easy, right? Simple definitely doesn't mean easy. And that crossroad decision absolutely doesn't mean easy. If you notice the way that path goes off to the side when the picture was up there, it's a really crooked, hilly, messy path. But nonetheless, faith is the pathway to greatness. Mark chapter 1. Jesus, the beginning of his ministry, his public ministry, he comes with a message of proclamation. Jesus came with a proclamation. He came in urgency at the exact right time. Jesus came to proclaim the crossroad decision. Listen to this simple verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, and we'll read 15 as well, but verse 14, beginning there. After John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus went into Galilee, northern part of the kingdom, near the Sea of Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. So it's a proclamation. It isn't one of those, hey, you should probably pay attention to this kind of things. It's a flip the table over, throw the cat out the window. I mean, I love cats, but proclamation. This is a big deal. Jesus wasn't watering it down. It wasn't one of those things. It was a flip your world upside down proclamation. Sometimes we read through this stuff and it loses its poke. It loses its edge. I'm here to poke today. He goes and tells us the proclamation in verse 15. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. We've read this a lot in the past. Repent and believe the good news. Believe. faith is the pathway to greatness. And it's entry into the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom where radical grace, radical restoration, radical love is experienced. At the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, the kids don't have to be Christian to come. They don't have to be Christian to leave. But every single one of our full-time staff, every single one of our part-time staff are unapologetically Christian. We are a mission of the Church of Christ. Every full-timer is Church of Christ. And we proclaim truth into these kids' lives. And in time, they respond to this truth. There's a video I want to show you. A video of James. He's going to illustrate this passage for us. Repent and believe the good news. This is a video illustration of Mark chapter 1 verse 15. And this kid lived a lot of lives before he came into our care. Check out what this looks like in this video. This is one of your hometown boys.
A day of talking and probably months of prayer from everybody. James had a long talk and he wants to become a Christian today, and that's what we're here to do. And so I'm going to have you repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that confession, I'm going to now baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remissions of his sins, so that he may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, arise and walk a new life.
Caleb poured into this kid's life. Each one of our staff members poured into this kid. We're not really staff members, we're family members. We're not an institution, and we're not a facility at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. We're not a service provider. We are a home. And James needed a home. Him and his sister, Charlotte, needed a home. And we were at church camp. And, of course, it's midnight when I was there taking that video. These kids, they don't get the message at 10 o'clock in the morning. They get the message at 10 o'clock at night at these church camps. And at midnight, we immersed this boy. And beforehand, we spent time with him. Because you know how church camp is. It's a really emotional experience. You know, so we wanted to get into this with James. Because we told him, this isn't going to be easy. This is standing at the crossroads, making a decision of faith is not easy to do. And the set of experiences that follow isn't going to be easy sometimes. It'll be freakishly rewarding, but it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. So we sat there with James and we talked to him and we read through the scripture together. We had our Bibles open. We were in the cafeteria. And finally, at some point, I looked at James and I said, why now? Why now? Yeah. It's a good question. I came to Christ on February 3rd, 2002 when I was 35 years old. I was asked that same question. Joe, why now? Why now? And James, his answer was just off the charts. He looked at us, myself and Hal, in the eyes. He said, you know, I've had a lot of dads in my life. He had a lot of dads cycling through the motels he was living at. He had a lot of dads cycling through the foster homes he was living at. This kid's 14 years old. I was like, why now? And James said, you know, there's a lot of dads in my life, but I realize today I only have one father. I mean, it gave me goosebumps. We wept like babies. I mean, it was just, yes, he got the message. Standing at the crossroads, faith is the pathway to greatness. And Jesus said very clearly, the time has come. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance simply means taking a different path. And believe the good news means investing our trust into the one true God. Many of us, including myself, invest my trust in all kinds of things. Whether it's the brake pedal on the car, or the cord on the parachute, or the meal you're about to eat at a restaurant. We invest a lot of trust in a lot of people because there could be something wrong with that meal. The ripcord could not work, and maybe the brakes stopped working. We invest. Life is filled full of investments of trust. Jesus is challenging us as a pathway to greatness for that core self. Make that decision to put our trust in God and Jesus. And at the beginning of Mark, in verse 1, we're told five simple words that describe what we're putting our trust in. It's real simple. It's the first verse of Mark chapter 1. It's like a speed bump passage. Now, I said this the last time I was here, but I'm from the East Coast. And when I see a speed bump, I speed up. Don't tell me what to do. But in this particular case, we should slow down just for a second, right? And it says, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, that name means saves. It just simply means saves. It's the Greek counterpart to Joshua, which means saves. What are we putting our trust in? Saves. God saves. Jesus saves. Christ. That word simply means the anointed one. Jesus was anointed as the King to save us. This isn't rocket science. The Son of God. We're putting our trust and our faith declaration. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe He's eternal like God. We believe Jesus is God. That's our faith declaration. The whole Bible spends its whole time trying to illustrate and affirm these five words. Jesus Christ, Son of God. This is what we're putting our faith in. This is the crossroad decision. We make it once like James did when we confess our faith in Jesus and we are immersed in Christian baptism. And then we affirm that choice every single day after that. We affirm the choice every single day. Faith is the entry point into the pathway of greatness. It is what we abandon ourselves to. And that's what we're challenged to do. Abandon. Surrender to that. And of course, the scripture begs us to define the word faith. Because, you know, in this day and age, we should probably get down to the basics of what this stuff is. Faith. What is faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 does this really wonderful job of simply stating what faith is. Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we're told faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I am certain that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't see that. I truly believe, and I am full 100% sure that He is the Christ, the Jesus. When I came to Christ on February 3rd, 2002, at 35 years old, I was previously an electrical engineer. In the engineering world, I was designing cell phones. I ate that stuff up. That was my God. But through a series of experiences, including my wife, I was brought to this place of decision. And I invested my trust in this. I am sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see. That's the pathway to greatness. Yeah, that picture we saw earlier where the kid was sitting there holding his chin. Yeah, it's a decision to contemplate, but it's also a decision to move into and move forward. Because at the end of the day, I think when we're standing at the crossroads, we're challenged to say yes to one thing and no to everything else. At the Woodburn Christian Children's Home, this is what we challenge the kids and especially their families. People always ask us, how well do the children change at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home? And my response every single time is the exact same thing. How much is the family willing to change? Lasting outcome begins in the living room. It always begins in the living room. If you want your kids to be raised in Christ, if you want your grandkids to know Christ, it is our responsibility. It's in the living room. That's where it all begins. And that's what we offer to children at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. When you come down to visit us, you'll see our living rooms. That's where we teach Christ. And because if we read on in this Hebrews chapter 11, we're given some pretty interesting examples of people who have said yes to the one main thing, faith, and no to everything else. If we just read Hebrews 11, 1 through a couple. It says here, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And I hope you've got an ancient in your life. I've got a few ancients in my life. Wayne and Sue Michael. They're in their mid-80s. They have taught me more about faith than I'll ever know and ever remember. I hope you have a few ancients in your backdrop who are holding you up and holding you up. By faith, these ancients, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he was dead. There's another one. By faith, Enoch, it's an interesting name, was taken from this life so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God taken him away. And listen to what they say about Enoch's faith. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Well, how did you please God? And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists to please God because anyone comes to him must believe that he exists. And then the illustration I want to jump into just for a couple of seconds is Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Now, we have these illustrations in our life. We watched the video of James. He made a decision at the crossroads to choose faith. Noah also made a decision standing at the crossroads to choose faith. His decision is illustrated for us in Genesis chapter 6. It's just a powerful couple chapters in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, and they're right thereafter. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but it's worth stopping and thinking about this ancient, this person who became the heir of faith. Because if you remember, the flood was a point in our history, a contrasting point of judgment and salvation. And Noah was right in the middle of it. In Genesis chapter 6, we're brought to this place of Noah. And we're told in verse 5 that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. This is a crazy description of humanity. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind out, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. This isn't what you teach the kindergartners when they're coloring pictures of the little animals walking up the plank. This is a story of judgment and salvation. It's a contrast. Standing at the crossroads is always a contrast. The way of salvation or the way of judgment. It's always a contrast. Then we read the introduction of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. This is the passage that reminded me of Jeremiah 6:16. Stand at the crossroads, look, ask, and walk in it. You'll find rest for you. It's the same Hebrew word as the word here. Noah walked with God. That's always characteristically what the person of faith shows us. They walk with God. We're walking with James now as we go through this. And Noah walked with God. And then the chapters describe the flood, this horrific point of judgment on humanity for the sins. And at the very end of the flood, we read that Noah had done everything just as God had commanded him. He walked in it. And everything on dry ground that had breath of air in its nostrils died. Everything living on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals, the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air were wiped on the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. And the flood waters receded. for it had been 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent the wind over the earth, and the waters receded, and Noah emerged from the ark. Noah was commended for his faith. When God came to him and said to him, I want you to build this ark, Noah stood at the crossroads. He could have said, I don't know what you're talking about. It must have been something I ate for dinner last night. This must be indigestion. But instead, he walked in it. He believed. Noah, it was commended to him for his faith. He believed God and walked in it, and therefore became a hero of our faith. We have to say no to a lot to say yes to that one true God. So I guess the question that we're going to wind this down with is, what are you saying yes to? What are you saying yes to? Noah said no to fear and ridicule, if you read the story. He said yes to faith and God. At work, what are you saying yes to? In your recreational life, what are you saying yes to at the crossroads? You've got to say yes to something. You've got to say no to something. Every crossroad decision only gives you two options, yes or no. What are you saying yes to? If you're curious, I mean, just look at the internet searches of a person. Look at their spending habits. Look at their recreational habits. Are you letting people off the hook when they hurt you? Look at their relational experiences. What are you saying yes to? Today, the challenge as a pathway to greatness, we're challenged to say yes to the one true God for entry into the kingdom that is characterized by radical grace, radical restoration, and radical forgiveness. What are you saying yes to? Interestingly, way back in Mark chapter 1, right there after Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Just after that passage, the next verse, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men at once. And that's enunciated in the Greek. At once they left their nets and followed him. They said yes at the crossroads. They could have said no, let us put our nets away. They could have said no, we have this fishing business. They said yes, and they walked away from their nets. What are you saying yes to? Right, that wasn't just out of the blue. When he had gone a little farther, Jesus, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John on a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat. I hope the boat was up against the shore. I mean, they just dropped the line and walk away, because they said when they, in the boat, a hired man followed him. They just left the boat. They said yes to the one main thing. The kids in our care, they have to say yes to one thing and no to everything else. And for our kids, it's that garbage that is in their heads, the stuff that they've been programmed to think about themselves. You're no good. Every time you're with us, there's problems. You smell. You don't laugh right. You don't eat right. These kids are programmed to feel like losers. They're called throwaway kids who come into our care. But the problem is, they're your neighbors. A couple miles away these kids are coming to us from. So it isn't like they're coming from Chicago or Philadelphia where I'm from. These kids are right out your back door. And Carly was one of them. Carly, I was sitting with her. This is in the newsletter, which, by the way, if you're not getting our newsletter, you're missing some good stuff. You could just get the e-newsletter. It's a 58-second read. But I listened to what I wrote about my encounter with Carly. Recently, while talking with Carly, a young lady living at the children's home, I reminded her that God cares and provides. I had to remind her. We have to be reminded all the time because we've got built-in forgetters. I had to remind her that God loves her and cares, right? But she did not believe me. She stood at the crossroads that particular day and chose not to believe. Her pain was real, that I wrote. Then we made a list on paper of how God provides through the Woodburn Christian Children's Home. As the conversation unfolded, her eyes filled with tears, Carly had no choice but to believe God loves her because the Christians serving at the Woodburn Christian Children's Home love her. And because the Kalkaska Church of Christ helps us to accomplish this love. Carly is a hero of my faith. This next picture, Zaysha. I don't know if you remember Zaysha stomping around the streets around here. Zaysha is a hero of my faith too. This picture of Zaysha, you can't see it real well. She was singing at a church camp. She's got this monstrous voice. And you can't see in that picture, but all the kids were stunned staring at her. She had become a hero of the faith for those children. An overcomer. An overcomer. Of course, there's disappointments of the faith. The scriptures always highlight that Judas Issachar became a disappointment of the faith when he betrayed Jesus. The Corinthians, those letters that were read from this morning, they became a disappointment, a percentage of them, because they said yes to worldly wisdom. The Galatians in the Bible, the book called Galatians, they became disappointments of the faith because of their legalism. The Ephesians and the Philippians, they became disappointments, a percentage of it, because of self-centeredness. The church of Laodicea became a disappointment of the faith in Revelation because they were lukewarm. The Bible's filled full of heroes of the faith and disappointments of the faith. What are you saying yes to? This is a challenge for the heart. This is a missions update, but this is a challenge. This is a core truth. Faith is the pathway to greatness. And it's acted out in what we say and in what we do. James says to us so very clear. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do, by walking in it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Conforming to the pattern of this world is done one crossroad at a time. Do not conform. Be transformed. Jesus gave us the challenge to walk in the way of faith. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord, put your hope in Him, and feed on faithfulness. Just feed on it. Feed on God's faithfulness. And feed on faithfulness. So, what are you saying yes to? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, thank you for this scripture, this timeless declaration of truth. May it impact our hearts. May we see faith as the primary core decision in everything that we do. Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the Woodburn Christian Children's Home and the deep, deep partnership and love with the Kalkaska Church of Christ. Father, we're thankful. We also pray, Father, for Lee and Vivian Bracey, the people who were before us in this ministry and how they continue to serve and to love. Father, thank you. We're filled full of grace and love today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your time.